Thanks for joining us as we talk to Buck Brannaman, the person who inspired The Horse Whisperer and is the focus of a new Truly Moving Picture Award-winning documentary, Buck. Joining him today is our very own Tim Irwin.
Hey, Buck. Tim Irwin here.
How are you, Tim?
Doing well. How are you doing?
Good.
Good. Well, we really appreciate you taking some time to chat with us a little bit today.
Well, it's my pleasure.
Great. We just talked to Cindy for a little while, and she was a pleasure to speak with as well. Well, I have a few questions for you.
Okay.
So to start with, could you maybe give our audience just a little bit of an idea of what you do with horses and people and what you do in the film?
Well, I travel all over America and all over the world teaching horsemanship, and I work with everything from horses that have never been ridden before and help people get started on their horses to problem horses that people have maybe tried to do themselves and failed at. They've either been bucked off or run away or kicked or bit or struck or something, and a lot of times it's, unfortunately, it's despair that brings them to my clinics. And then I'm sort of the, for lack of a better term, maybe the attorney for the horse while we're working everything out amongst the horses and the people.
Okay, great. So how did you become involved with this film? What made you say yes when Cindy asked you, when she brought the idea to you?
Well, I had known Cindy before. She'd been to some of my clinics, so we already had a friendship sort of started. So I was comfortable with her in that I knew she would do the best she could to represent me well in what she did. And yet still thinking back on it now, if it had been anyone but Cindy, I'd have probably said I'll pass, you know. But I, she caught me at the right moment, and I said, well, go ahead and try it. Let's see how it goes.
Well, great. We're glad you guys both agreed for it. You know, the film talks about the difference between breaking horses, which is how most people had historically heard about dealing with horses, and training them in an entirely different manner, which is what you do. What is the distinction there, and why is this so important to your work and to how people live their lives, generally speaking?
Well, the idea in working with these horses is that you can fix things up and let them happen rather than try to make it happen. And it's not about forcing the horse to submit to us, but getting the horse to understand what we'd like. And at the same rate, us understanding the horse and where he's coming from. So I suppose a good way to put it might be if you're able to have the horse help make up the rules, how you'd help him to understand that the horse's psychology would be a big part of this.
Interesting. And you know, your work and the film deals specifically with horses, but so much of it is broader than that, and you teach people how to live and how to work with horses and how they relate to other people and the world around them and everything. When did this broader relationship challenge sort of become an integral part of your outlook at your clinics and in everything that you did?
Well, of course, as I first started to learn this style of horsemanship from my mentors, Ray Hunt and Tom Dorrance, it became clear to me, having been through the childhood that I'd been through, that it truly was something that transcended horses, and it was a great healing process for me over the years working with the horses. So early on, I knew that this really wasn't just about horses, and I never really intended to do clinics. It just sort of chose me, and I couldn't be happier. I'm blessed to get to do this because through working with the horses and people, amazingly enough, I get to be sometimes a factor in the rest of someone's life in a positive way. And that's very humbling to get to be a part of someone's life like that.
Yeah. You mentioned your upbringing and what impact that had on you as you were working with horses. Was it hard to bring that up in a film? And you talked pretty frankly about some tougher times in your life. Was that difficult to share and be open with all that?
Well, no, not so much. I had already written my book, The Faraway Horses, which really goes in depth to my life. And so they sort of had that in mind while they were doing the documentary. And I think unless you really know at least a little bit about the person and maybe some of the trials and tribulations that I went through, you maybe don't have a very good focus on why and how it ended up the way it did.
Interesting. So you mentioned that horses really give you this opportunity to be involved in people's lives in a very humbling way. What is it about horses specifically that make them so powerful, that give you such an incredible connection to them? What is it about the horse that is so immense?
Well, the horse is so sensitive, and it's. I always tell people that the one thing that God left out of horses when he created them is they don't have greed and spite and hate and jealousy and envy. And sometimes those are things that if we're not careful, will rule our lives as humans. And I think to be able to find a way to meet a horse on his terms and have him accept you, those kind of things you have to put aside. And when you do put it aside and you find a way to be fitting to a horse to where they accept you and they feel comfort and they're interested in being around you, it can't help but change you as a person.
That's incredible, and that really comes across in the film through the little glimpse at your work that we get. But at the same time, people who aren't horse lovers respond so incredibly to the film. What is that like for you, being able to reach such a broad audience, maybe people that would never end up at one of your clinics?
Well, we were hoping that this message would have a broad appeal to people that didn't necessarily have horses, because if it was just going to be directed toward horse people, I would have said, why would you bother? I'm out here every week of the year doing clinics, helping people that have horses. But the intent was that this message did transcend not just the horses, but everything. It really is all about your life and maybe how you are with your kids and how you are with your business associates and your friends and maybe someone you don't know.
Yeah. You've had experience with a big studio film in The Horse Whisperer, and that's talked about a little bit in the film. How did those experiences differ working on this movie about your own life and then The Horse Whisperer? Did you notice a big change in how they both went?
Well, yeah, because in The Horse Whisperer, Nick Evans used me as the inspiration for the character of Tom Booker, and there are some things that he wrote into his book that were based on real things that happen in my life and even have happened in my life. But at the same rate, it was a fictional story. You know, I often tell people that we spent about 5 months filming The Horse Whisperer, and in the process of that, the character was working with this problem horse. And, well, the only thing is he needed something to do while he was taking 5 months to court Kristen Scott Thomas, because it shouldn't have taken him that long to get that much accomplished with the horse.
Oh, man. So this might be a bit of a hard question, but what drives you in your work? You spend a lot of time away from your family and on the road. Is it the horses, really, and your relationship with them and other people's relationships with them, or is it the impact that you're able to have on people's lives and how they view things that drives you?
Well, sometimes people ask me that question. You know, I spend, my life isn't all romance, believe me. You know, right now I'm in between clinics, and this 3 days or so in between each clinic, you're driving by yourself, and it's lonely, and you miss your family, and you're not in real glamorous places, but it's the energy that when I start a clinic, the enthusiasm people have for what I'm doing, and they so appreciate what I'm doing, and the horses do. I feel like this is my calling, and sometimes I've wondered over the years, is being so devoted to what I'm doing, is it going to cost me my family, you know? But it hasn't so far, thank goodness. But it's quite a sacrifice for my family, too, to be honest with you.
Yeah, I can only imagine that. And we do see a little bit of your family in the film, and one of your daughters that you're training with and working with. Now, do you have two daughters?
We have three daughters.
Three daughters,
older
okay.
Girls that are out of college now and out working and that have just done real well. They're not so interested in horses, but good girls. So we're 3 for 3 as far as success, so we couldn't be more proud about that.
Fantastic. And you still talk to them and love them even though they're not as into horses as you?
Oh, yeah.
Great. There was one in the movie that seemed a bit interested in horses. Is she still doing, working with you?
Yeah, that's Rihanna, and she's still in high school. She has one more year. She'll be starting her senior year this fall, and then she'll be off to college. So she spends every summer with me, so she's just about out of school.
Oh, great.
So I'm really looking forward to that because she travels with me in the summer, and we just have the best time. So even though I'm gone a lot, I actually get an awful lot of quality time with my daughter because she has the same interest as me. So once she goes on the road with me, it's a big time.
Great. That's good to hear. We were just talking to Cindy a little bit ago, your director, and I asked her what struck her most about you. And she mentioned sort of this inflappability that you have that, you know, as soon as you start a clinic, no matter what the weather's like, no matter what situations are, no matter how long you've been on the road, your whole heart is in it and you're never phoning it in. Where did this quality come from? Is this just something that's been in you through your upbringing and everything?
You know, I'm not sure if it's something you're born with or maybe you discipline yourself. I do think I have a lot of self-discipline and I just don't have a lot of quit in me.
Great. Yeah, I think that sums it up. You were at Sundance, I believe, earlier this year with the film.
Yeah.
Was that your first time seeing it with an audience?
It was the first time with a big audience on a big screen. And it was really something. I'd never been to a film festival before, anything like that. I'd been to one premiere years ago, a Monty Walsh film that Tom Selleck did, and that was the closest I ever got to anything like that. So it was a big thrill. But it's hard for me to watch it because I have to say every time I see my foster mom on there, I can't help but cry. And then it's hard to be the one standing up in front of everybody at the end of the film after you've been crying, you know.
So. Yeah. We had one of our staff members was at Sundance, and he loves the film so much and saw you walking around sometimes with your hat on and everything, but he never got a chance to meet with you, so we were wondering sort of how you took all that in. Is it hard watching it with an audience sharing so intimately? You know, it's different than writing a book and having people read it and talk to you. Watching your life on screen with other people, is that a new experience or different?
Yeah, it is a little bit hard. It is hard to see it. Like I say, it's important that they know some things, even some sort of intimate things about me. It's important that the audience knows that in order to tell the story. But you really are exposing yourself to people that you don't even know.
Right.
And yeah, that's a little bit difficult, but I've found that people have so warmly received the film. I'm so glad I did now.
Yeah, we are too. I don't think it would have been the same film without you opening up in the way that you did. So we're very thankful for that. All right, one last question for you, and then we'll let you go. And it is one that we ask everybody that we interview. Are there other films that you've seen maybe growing up or recently that have moved you or inspired you, movies that you would call a truly moving picture for you?
Well, you know, one that I saw not too long ago that I just thought was really something was a movie called Secondhand Lions.
Okay, yeah.
And you know, I've seen that I don't know how many times, and it's just a great film. It really is.
What is it about the film that strikes such a chord with you?
Well, you know, I think maybe it just sort of struck home with me because the child that they sort of took under their wing, these two older gentlemen, Michael Caine and Robert Duvall, and that kid didn't really have anywhere to go. And they were sort of a couple of old has-beens, you know. And the whole movie, you were thinking, I wonder if they're for real, if they're just making up stories for this kid. And then it turned out to all of it be true. And they were these grand characters earlier in their life. And just the relationship between these older people that formed with this kid was, gee, it was a neat deal. It was a neat movie. Anybody could see that with their family, you know, and
yeah.
You got to appreciate that kind of a film because nowadays you're about half scared to go to a theater for fear of what your child's going to see, you know.
Right. Very true. Well, that's all we have for you. Thanks so much for chatting with us. It's been a great pleasure.
Thank you very much.
We hope you enjoy the summer with Rada. I'm sure that's going to be a fantastic time. So
all
best
right,
of luck.
Then. Good talking to you.
All right. Thanks so much, Buck.
Bye-bye.
That was Buck Brannaman, whose life is chronicled in our latest Truly Moving Picture Award winner, Buck. We'd like to give special thanks today to Buck and IFC Films for giving us the opportunity to talk and for giving us a very deserving Truly Moving Picture Award winner.